Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. Najpierw chciałbym podziękować organizatorów za zaproszenie i za możliwość uczestniczyć w tym bardzo ciekawym i intelektualnym intelektualnej konferencji. Ale przejdę jednak na angielski. I would also like to thank Agata because she already made a good presentation of the Baltic case, and I think it's almost everything is said, and at least major things are said. So it makes my job easier. At the same time, of course, I would like to say some few words and probably not go into too much into the details, but give some major points probably on developments in Baltics related to the gas field as well. First of all, it was said in the beginning today, already in the previous panels, that there is interdependence between Russia and European Union in gas sector and energy sector. I would agree with that. Of course, there is interdependence, even though I would a little bit redefine it. It's uneven in interdependence. There is definitely asymmetries in different aspects. There is definitely unevenness on the different interdependence dimensions. One is, of course, you can speak of security demand and security supplies, that there are similar things, but of course there is certain asymmetry of it. But I would probably, since I will lead to the Baltic case, more speak about unevenness in the terms that there are countries with different policies. European Union consists of 27 countries, and each of the countries are in sort of different perspective in terms of structural interests, in terms of perceptions, in terms of supply routes, which already historically have been established. That's why I previously said what Roland from Germany was saying, that Europe is the safest place almost in energy sector in terms of gas supplies, that it has gas from Algeria, it has gas from Norway, it has gas from Russia. I mean, Agata already showed it quite clearly. Look at different parts of Europe. And if you look in the Baltic case, it's 100. I'm laughing, 120%. So, I mean, it's even still coming, this percentage. So the Baltic countries, at the moment seem to be very precisely described by green paper and by different relevant papers of European Commission. They are energy islands, not only energy islands in terms of infrastructure, energy islands in terms of supply routes, but also energy islands to some extent in terms of energy policy mixes, not only energy mixes, but energy policy mixes, but I will come to it as well. So infrastructure, of course, is largely connected to Russia. It is in gas sector, it is in electricity sector, it is in oil sector. Supplies mostly are from Russia. If you look especially in Latvian case, that we are probably the most vulnerable in this situation because we import even electricity. And electricity comes from both, comes from neighboring countries, meaning Lithuania and Estonia, but also it comes from Russia. And it seems that after Ignalina, the Baltic countries from net exporter of electricity will become a net importer of electricity, which means that even we will have to look more outside of the region. And first of all, of course, since we are connected to the Russian and CIS electricity ring, of course, we will first of all look for imports from Russian side. Also about natural gas companies, and this is a difference with, I would still say, with most of European other countries, that natural gas companies, which are monopolies in the Baltic countries, are dominated by first of all, by Gazprom. If it's not completely 50%, that it's very close to almost 50%, close to majority. In Latvian case, it's 34% of Latvia's gas is a major monopoly in gas sector is owned by Gazprom, and 16% is owned by ITERA, which might be discussable, but I think is very much connected to gas, at least to gas interests which come from Russia. Latvia, as I said, is pretty much vulnerable and insecure in the Baltic region if you look in general. In comparison to the, as I mentioned, Lithuania produces its own electricity. Estonia is 70% self-sufficient. In Latvian case, we are self-sufficient approximately 30-40% from our energy needs. If we speak about a general energy balance and gas, that gas is at the moment more than 30%. If you again compare to Poland, where it's around 14-15%, that it's a huge reliance on one source and one resource in our energy balance. In Lithuanian case, it's also quite considerable, so also more than 30. In Latvian case, there is even additional idea of building a node to exactly compensating for those electricity needs, which will appear in 2009, when Ignalina will be closed. Exactly, there is additional project almost already decided to build additional thermoelectrical power plant, which would generate electricity based supplied by Russia, which would, according to some estimates, increase the energy, gas and energy balance up to almost 40%. So it's a quite considerable amount. There also, I would say that in context, there is general energy deficit, and it's not easy to get energy, and there is always this ever present deficit in a sense, and a need to exactly to import. Additionally, of course, as I mentioned already, in case of national companies, they're mostly owned by Gazprom. Of course, there are interest groups which are to some extent connected, at least they are directed, they are more interested in cooperating with Russia closely. There are one of the probably a little bit difference, and this is somehow to debate what does it mean. Is it a positive side? Is it a negative side? Is it increasing the security of the Baltic countries? Is it increasing the security of Latvia? It's about underground storage facilities. At the moment in Latvia, there is more than 2 billion cubic meters active gas, almost up to 4 billion cubic meters could be stored and could be used already for local consumption. Of course, Latvia consumes less than 2 billion cubic meters a year. So, of course, it means that there is an underground storage facility which can be used, which is securing against some immediate gas cuts if there are some potential of political, economic, or just unintentional ones. There is possibility to develop underground facilities up to 50 billion cubic meters. So it's really a huge, and Latvia for this is pretending to be or claiming to be one of the transit hubs or the storage hubs in sense in the whole Central and East European region, and that's why Latvia is quite strongly advocating also strategic reserves in terms of gas storage. This is sort of one of the advantages that I said, and I will come to it a little bit later, that it has both sense, negative and positive. There are different energy policy mixes in fact in the Baltic countries. So of course structurally there are similarities, but also the countries have chosen different policy mixes, different approaches, different, you can say, energy policy paradigms or philosophies. If you look in general in Europe, there are several, you can say, models, and probably I will be simplistic, but still I would say there is on one extreme Polish model, at least under Brothers Kaczynski's and Minister Wozniak, and also the Minister Piotr Naimski, which very clearly identified that energy sector is a strategic sector. In energy sector, the state should be present in energy sector. It's not just for free market forces to dominate it. That the state presence is important in defining the major strategic options. There is probably a little bit different model, like Hungarian model, Bulgarian model, where it's free market model in a sense. That money, the interests in a sense, also the interest groups, they are more influential in a sense, and they have this economic logic, which is also you can say relevant and could be substantiated with economic and financial aspects. Also, there are different aspects in the Baltics, and Latvia in this case, I wouldn't probably subscribe to what Edward Lucas is saying in his book and in his articles, that Latvia alongside Bulgaria and alongside Moldova is one of the swing countries. And he says, of course, and he was recently also in Riga, and I had a chance to moderate him, so he says that yes, that he also in his articles, that the Russia is increasing his power grab, and Europe or West is losing its Cold War in exactly those countries. As I said, I think it's too simplistic, it's too exaggerated, but there is certain kind of observation also from outside, that Latvia has adopted a little bit different way of dealing with outside world, dealing with Russia, and dealing also in economic and energy terms. What is in Latvia, it's called the pragmatic course. that it's a pragmatic course that we should deal with Russia. Russia is our neighbor. In fact, it's also interesting that it has changed. Previously, there was discussion about what is economic security. And economic security means that we have to be careful who invests in our economy. We have to be careful about also especially energy sector. We have to really deal and promote the diversification of energy resources. Now the security discourse, which is more opportunity discourse, and that we have to use our opportunities. We should deal politically, we should deal economically with Russia, especially when a certain kind of recession, inflation is on a horizon. In this context, I say, look, Russia has provided for many years the gas. It's very reliable. The prices are quite cheap. It's cheaper also to build a gas thermoelectric power plant. It's also, you don't have to pay for emission quotas. What would we pay for a coal? So in fact, the Russian gas is a certain kind of opportunity. And cheaper, more reliable, quickly to solve the problems. Well, that's why there is this opportunity discourse. And of course, there are several aspects to it. One aspect is that, taking into account what I mentioned, that European Union has adopted different policies, that European Union, in fact, is not very common in its voice on different aspects. It's also understandable in a sense, and I'm to some extent critical, but also I'm understanding the Latvian ruling coalition in a sense that, yes, this is normal when you try to deal on your own, because most likely nobody will really help. And also when you see about Ignalina issue, the Ignalina issue has been already discussed for several years, but at the moment it seems that Ignalina will not start earlier than 2020. And of course, the Minister Vozniak can tell also the details about this, I think the whole, those difficult discussions which have been in the last years. But it seems that the project is what happens in between. So it also means that with increasing energy deficit, how you compensate for the energy deficit. So we can understand that also each country, first of all, thinks about itself in a sense, and at least European Union has proved it, that national interests are very much a priority. On the other hand, also there is increased dilemma, conundrum, which should be faced, it's energy deficit. So that's why also you can look what is the closest neighbor and what are the closest options. And one of the options is exactly to import the gas from Russia. Of course, there are additional also positive aspects, and that's why this business orientation in a sense. And that's why I mentioned also about underground storage facilities. Underground storage facilities provide also quite a good profit. In the winter time, you can sell the gas to the neighboring countries for more than 30% as you buy it. So it means that, in fact, you can make also quite a good business. So that's why it's also interesting that Latvian position has changed with respect to Nord Stream. In the 2005 and 2006, the position was very, very clear and very negative, and it was very common with Estonia, with Lithuania, with Poland. In 2007, 2006, 2007, it's changing. It's becoming more neutral. It's becoming more indirect, even I would say indirect supportive of the Nord Stream, because one of the ideas is also to have a branch to Latvia, which would provide additional gas, and especially there is this very big idea of potentially having a big underground storage facilities which can be used already later on. What in fact is, speaking of Nord Stream, and of course there are in general many critical things about Nord Stream you can say, and there already some criticism has been manifested in the previous sessions. Different perspectives. Agata, I think, has written a paper, and I remember that the Nord Stream is problematic because if it would go through Poland, you can compensate this insecurity for dependence on Russian gas supplies. This would be a certain kind of compensation of insecurity. Of course, what Russian colleagues are saying, that's also partly true, and also what was mentioned by a representative of European institutions, that yes, it's also transit incomes. Of course, it's also the countries want to have transit incomes, let's be critical, and they will lose it. Of course, there are also environmental issues. There are also military issues, and it was mentioned partly that what Robert Larson Larson, the Swedish colleague, is very actively engaged in the research that also militaries and intelligence services might be connected to Nord Stream. I would say that at the same time, I think, and let's say my a little bit provocative attitude, at least from Latvian perspective, I would say that probably Nord Stream is not such a bad deal. Nord Stream is not so bad, and I would probably fall out of the common Baltic-Polish front. First of all, it has a certain kind of positive repercussions. Of course, it's not about bad or negative, but the immediate, but it's about certain kind of positive repercussions that, in fact, the Nord Stream has contributed to discussion about EU solidarity. And finally, we try to discuss and engage in certain kind of discussion. What is a common position? What is our common voice in EU issues? So Nord Stream also, of course, Ukrainian crisis very much contributed to this discussion. I think, in fact, there is certain positive repercussion. But why I say from Latvian side, what does it mean if there would be a transit through Latvia, Lithuania, and probably to Poland? I say Latvia is in a completely different situation from Poland. First of all, Poland, remember, there is 15% of gas energy balance. In Latvia, there is more than 30%. Economically, it will increase gas instincts. It will increase more or less macroeconomic and energy orientation on reliability on one source and one resource. And I think, in fact, this is probably not the best way. So, and second, probably, which is more important for me, and I would follow here a little bit, Edward Lucas logic, that the cash is the most powerful thing. The soft power is the most important thing. As I mentioned already previously, already now, the Russian presence in Latvia, if you look according to investments, it's definitely one of the top three. Even though officially it's like around 7th, 8th place, but if you would, let's say also the investments from Cyprus, which is named Cyprus, the Russian, in fact, investments coming back to Russia and also to the Baltic countries quite actively, then, in fact, Latvia would be already now around 20% of Latvian economy would be dominated by Russian economy, by Russian connected interest groups. And also in energy sector, I think already now Latvia's gas, there is monopoly which is owned largely by groups which are not directly Latvian national company. So that's why I would say it's good that Nord Stream is going where it's going, because from Latvian perspective, it would be a quite... In a longer term perspective, from macroeconomic development, also from political development, also from soft power perspective, I think in Latvian case it might be quite an insecure aspect. And that's why also I would say about the branch of the Nord Stream, which is in Latvia quite actively advocated. I was in a few weeks ago in the Baltic Business Forum in Riga, and there was by one of the Latvian participants the question asked to the Nord Stream representative. Is it going to be the branch from Nord Stream to underground facilities? And he said, I will give you a very frank answer, that there is a possibility for it. We don't plan it really, but Gazprom will decide. And Gazprom is not present, so he cannot really talk on the behalf of Gazprom. So this shows also this element of manipulation, a sense, element of intransparency, element of unclarity, what's going on with this project, what's going on with the branch and what will be the underground facilities as well. That's why I would say underground facilities in Latvia, it is advantage, but it is advantage not directly linked to the Nord Stream. It would be advantage if European Commission, if European institutions will decide on certain kind of, as I mentioned, strategic solidarity approach, strategic underground storage facilities. But as I sometimes recently also heard this expression, that Russia is collective Rumsfeld. That as Rumsfeld divided the European Union and all the new neighbors, and in fact also Russia is very willingly dividing the European Union in many countries, but I would say European Union itself is collective Rumsfeld. And of course, European Union is itself dividing in different groups, and even though Barroso Commission has made the energy issues, is a flagship issue, Barroso Commission's success or failure very much depend how far it will go in energy issues. I hope that there is a certain kind of potential, but I think at the same time, the national interest will remain, and the Baltic countries, it seemingly will have to learn through their own lessons and through their own failures in dealing with energy issues. Thank you.